We turn our attention today to Tehillim 15, Tehillim Kapitel Tesfof, Mizmor LeDavid. This is a song composed by David, and this again is a very, very brief kapitel with only five verses, but it is an exceptionally clear and powerful one, and one which is often used at times, such as eulogies, when one wants to find appropriate words for a person who has lived a honest life, to a man or woman of great integrity. David HaMelech says, Hashem mi yogur biyoholecha, God, who will dwell in your tent? Mi yishkon bahar kodshecha, who will live in your holy mountain, or more literally, the mountain of your holiness? Radak insists that the Ohel here refers to heaven, and we are discussing the reward due to a person who earns dwelling in the heavens, who earns eternal life. Har Kodshecha, the holy mountain, refers to Har HaMoriah, to the Temple Mount where the Beis HaMikdosh was. And we're speaking here of the ultimate rewards, the rewards which the soul will receive after death. Who is this person who earns these special rewards of dwelling in the Ohel and Har, in the tent and mountain of God? He is the person who is Holeich Tomim. He is the person who lives blamelessly. He lives in perfection. He is the person who is Tomim, who is perfect. Or perhaps he is the person who approaches life with an attitude of temimut, an attitude of accepting everything. He doesn't think much about the scheming and events of the world, but rather is above them, and he moves ahead in perfect bitachon and perfect trust in God. He's holech tomim. Ufoel tzedek, and he does what is right. V'dover emes bilvavo, and he speaks truth in his heart. And here Radak points out that this holech tomim, this person who walks in perfection, does three things in the level of action, in the level of speech, and at the level of thought. V'ma'ase, v'dibur, uv'machshova. First of all, ufoel tzedek, he does, he acts in a righteous way, action. V'dover emes, and he speaks truth, so speech. Bilvavo, in his heart, in his thoughts, he also can speak truth. There is a consistency, a correlation between what he says in his heart and what he speaks in his mouth. Radak also suggests that the person who is dover emes bilvavo, the person who speaks truth in his heart, feels bound not only by his verbal commitments, but even commitments which he thought about did not make verbally. Afilu ma shechoshev mekayem, even what he just thought of doing, he feels obligated to actually do what he planned to do, even though he made no verbal commitments. In addition, the pasuk continues, lo rogal al lishono, there is no gossip on his tongue, no talk against others on his tongue. Lo rogal al lishono. He doesn't speak what we call rechilus, idle gossip about other people. Here, Radak makes an important observation. There are many mitzvos which have to do with the tongue. We're not allowed to testify falsely against others. We're not allowed to curse princes, kings, judges, certainly not God. So there are many mitzvos lo sa'aseh, many commandments warning against the misuse or the abuse of one's tongue, of one's power of speech. Why then does David HaMelech here focus on this particular prohibition against Rogal, against Rechilus, against the tail-bearer? So Radak answers, because here, even if he speaks the truth, it is still gossip. Afal pi shehi emes, yetzei ra gadol mimeno. Gossip, even gossip which is true factually, is very, very damaging. And therefore, this person is dover emes, he speaks truth, but one kind of truth he does not speak. And that is truth which is rechilus, lo rogal alishono. There's no gossip upon his tongue. Lo osol re'ehu ro'o. He has not done bad, he has not harmed his fellow. Now here one might say, he's not harmed his fellow, re'ehu, but he has harmed others. No, says Radak. But rather, this is often the language of the Torah. Because whom do we come in contact with? We come in contact with our reim, with our acquaintances. And therefore, the Pasuk speaks al hahove, that which is contemporary and relevant. Doesn't mean chas v'shalom that he's done bad to others, but not to his friends. No, he's not done bad to any of the people with whom he comes into contact. For example, Radak points the Pasuk in Parshas Bahar, Lo sonu ish es amiso. You should not deceive your fellow. Does that mean it's only your fellow who you shouldn't deceive? No. Also, it's prohibited to fool or deceive any person, even a non-Jew, even a person who is not amisro. Or lo sa'anev re'echa eid shoker. Don't, from the Aseres Hadibros in Parshas Yisro, don't bear false witnesses against your friend. Does it mean only against your friend? Obviously not. But it's your friend whom you're more likely, your acquaintance with whom you're more likely to come into contact. V'cherpo lo noso al kerovo. Radak feels that the word cherpo here is related not to embarrassment, to shaming someone, but rather to cursing someone. Chiruf, shelo chereif v'gideif adam. He's never cursed anyone. He's never reproached anyone in a harmful way. Even if that person has cursed him, even if that person who has insulted him. V'cherpo lo noso al kerovo. Malbim here has a fascinating twist on this pasuk, which fits very well into the words. Notice in pasuk Gimel, lo oso l're'ehu ro, he has not done to his fellow, his friend, it's a person who is an acquaintance, but at some distance from him, v'cherpo lo noso al kerovo. And he has not, in the process, borne shame to his karov, to his relative, to someone who's close to him. Malbim points out that sometimes people are tempted to harm others when it benefits those who are close to them, thinking perhaps, I'll ruin the business of so-and-so, my acquaintance, because in that way it will benefit my cousin because he will get the business instead. So therefore, David HaMelech says here, Lo osolder yehu ro'o. He has not done bad to his re'a, to his acquaintance. And since, Malbim writes, it is the nature of a person to cover over, to try to protect, lechapos, to protect his close relative. So here the pasuk says, "Lo also," in the words of the Malbim, "Lo also l'rayehu roho afshiyagia mizeh toeles likrovov." He has not done bad to his reya, even if it would mean a benefit to his karov. Ki cherpa lo nasa al karovo. He has not done protective techniques, things to benefit his relative, if it would harm another person, however that distant that person is. A very important, very high ethical principle. I'm not going to harm the other guy, even though that by harming him, I might bring benefit to someone closer to me. Nivze ve'enov nimos. This phrase is translated variously by the different translations and the different mufarshim. We might translate it nivze ve'enov nimos, a nivze, a contemptible person, ve'enov nimos, is abhorrent to him. That's one way of translating it. Nivze, the person who is contemptible, ve'enov nimos. Or sometimes, as Malbim suggests, the opposite. Nivze be'enov, it is contemptible to him, the person who is nimos, who is a disgraceful person. V'yes yirei Hashem yechabeit, as opposed to the way he treats those who are nivzim or nimosim, those who are disgraceful, contemptible, he honors those who are Yireyei Hashem, those who fear God. Again, turning to Malbim, a very powerful thought. Nivze be'enov nimos. Even if the korov in Pasuk, the last word of Pasuk Gimel, al korovo, even if that person who is nivze, beginning of Pasuk Dalet, or nimos, is his korov, nevertheless, he will find that person abhorrent. He will treat negatively even his karov, even his close relatives, if that person is a contemptible person. For example, says the Malbim, Chazal say that Chizkiyahu HaMelech dragged the bones of his father on a mito shel chavolim, on a bed of strings, of rope, in an embarrassing way, because nivze be'enov nimos, if his korov was a person who is nimos b'ma'asov, then this man treats him contemptibly, contemptuously. However, es yirei Hashem, those people who fear God, even if they are not his krovim, yichabed, he will give them honor. Nishba lahora v'lo yomir, he will swear, he will stand by his oath, even if it is hurtful to him. Nishba lahora, even if he has made an oath which is hurtful for him. He has made an oath, for example, to fast. He has made an oath, for example, to give away a big part of his fortune. So it's lahora, it's harmful to him personally, v'lo yomir. Once he makes the oath, he does not back out of it. He keeps his oath. He stands by his oath. Lo yomir, he doesn't switch it. He doesn't transfer it. He doesn't move it out of his commitment. Radak is troubled somewhat by why is this great righteous person who has such high ethical standards, why is he swearing at all? Swearing is not something which is generally thought to be a good thing to do. So Radak alludes to the fact, which Chazal say, that a person who takes an oath in order to do a mitzvah, or a person who takes an oath, to quote the Radak, Kedei shelo yatridehu yetzer horosh, so that he shouldn't be tempted, he shouldn't be persuaded, he shouldn't yield to his temptations. So he swears so that the oath will restrain him from doing what is wrong. And Radak refers us to a pasuk which we'll learn later, Tehillim Kuf Yutes, where David says, Nishbati vo akayemo lishmor mishpatei tzidkecha. I swore, and that helped me fulfill and keep your righteous statutes. Kaspo lo nosan beneshech. He does not give his money away for interest. Vishochad al noki lo lokoch. And he doesn't take bribes to misjudge the innocent. Osei ele lo yimot liolam. The person who does all the above will never ever falter. Never, even, Radak says, bimoso. Even after death, in the world to come, he will not falter if he does these things. Notice, says Radak, many of these things are not things which he does. There are things which he refrained from doing. Lo rogala lishono, lo osolar yeyuroho. He, lo yomir, lo nosam beneshech. He didn't do gossip. He didn't do mistreatment of others. He didn't break his oath. He didn't lend money on exorbitant interest. He didn't take bribes. So why then do we refer to him as Osei Ela, the person who did do these positive things? He didn't do negatives. But where do we find that he did positives? The Radak says that we find this often, that the person who keeps away from doing negative is adjudged as if he had done positive. Osei Ela Hatovos Sheomarnu. The person who, in the words, I'm sorry, not of Radak, but in the words of Malbim, Kigam Hashev Vialtaase Necheshav Kemaase. A person who just sits passively and refrains from evil is adjudged, is considered to have done actively. He's passive, sat back in his chair, didn't speak gossip, but he's considered to have done something very positive, very constructive. Why? Why has he done so constructive? Suggests Malbim, who ose maase lichbosh etz yitzro. He controlled himself. Controlling oneself is a positive, active act. And therefore, since he controlled himself from not doing all these negative things, he is called the ose ele, the person who has done these things. I'd like to close by simply quoting from a lengthy piece in the commentary of Radak. Radak is the commentary of Rabbi David Kimchi, whom I am using in this series as the basic commentary on the text, because his commentary is so clear, coherent, and close to the pshat. It's not usually drash, it's the simple meaning of the words. I introduce from time to time other commentaries, especially, of course, the earlier than Radak commentaries, such as the Targum, Chazal from time to time, Rashi, of course, and have also quoted from great thinkers and commentaries on Psalms long after Radak, especially the 19th century commentaries of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch and of Malbim, Meir Leibush Malbim, both very, very important. But I focus and stress the words of Radak, which are accessible to all of you. However, I want to emphasize that, in my opinion, to study Navi without Tanakh, without Radak, studying Neviim Uksuvim without Radak, is like studying Chumash without Rashi. Radak is essential for the basic meaning of the text. Whatever else there is in the text, of course, that's fine and dandy. But Radak is basic. Occasionally, Radak will go off on a tangent, not very lengthy, but not very concise either, when there's something that's especially troubling him. And here, in our last Pasuk Hey, he is troubled by the fact that the man is praised because he doesn't give his money away for interest and doesn't take bribes. Well, that's not a high level of ethical behavior. We expect that of every person. The Torah forbids us to take interest. The Torah forbids us to take bribery. So, Radak's approach to that is that he doesn't give interest even when the borrower wants to give the interest. The borrower says, look, I need the money. Thank you for the loan. I'm going to give you something in exchange for the loan beyond the value of the loan himself. I'm going to give you a little present on top of the $100 that you lent me. Here's the $100 back, and on top of this, a box of chocolates. Something done very, very innocently. Nevertheless, this person doesn't take any bribes. And similarly with shochad, doesn't charge any interest. And similarly with shochad, with taking bribes. Even though he did not take a bribe in order to distort justice, he ruled justly. Nevertheless, the winner of the trial sometimes wants to give a little gift to the judge just as a token of his appreciation. This person doesn't take that. Shochad al noki lo lokoch. He takes no bribery whatsoever. Radak also addresses in his commentary on Pasuk 5 something which the Christians make a big deal out of. From time to time, in the uncensored version of Radak's commentary, he will polemicize, he will argue with the Christian interpretation of certain verses. Here, the Christians, the Notzrim, feel that David HaMelech is contradicting what the Torah says. The Torah doesn't say you can't give interest to any person. The Torah says, "Lanochri sashich," you can't charge interest to your fellow Jew, but you can charge interest to a non-Jew. Whereas here, in Tehillim, Kapitel Tesvav, it says, "Kaspo lo nosam b'neshech," he charged no interest to any man. So Radak says that you must understand that when it comes to doing injustice, to stealing, to depriving, to deceiving, these apply to Jew and to non-Jew. Whether you're deceiving or stealing from a Jew or from a non-Jew, this is prohibited. As Radak says, lo ne'emar kein, there is no permission to take advantage of the non-Jew when it comes to bigzela, ugeneva, uva aveda, uva no. When it comes to cheating and deceiving and not returning lost objects, and certainly when it comes to thievery, that's prohibited whether your victim is a Jew or a non-Jew. Avol haneshech shehu lokeach mimenu birtzono uvedaato. But suppose the borrower comes and willingly wants to pay interest because he wants to encourage you to lend him the money. So he's willingly offering you interest. Then, from a Gentile, it is permissible. But from a Jew, no. Ki Yisrael chayov la'asos chesed im Yisrael chavero. Here, you're going above and beyond the call of duty. That's by not charging interest, legitimately. So here, you're only obligated to go above and beyond the call with your fellow Jew. Ha'halva below neshech hu chesed v'tovo, to lend someone money without charging reasonable interest, that is a favor. You don't have to do favors with everyone. Business is, after all, business. And you're allowed to charge a fair interest rate to a non-Jew. To a Jew, however, you have to give him the extra chesed, the extra tova of not charging anything, but simply lending to him interest-free. So here we have commentary of Radak, which is, in his words, a teshuva la-notzrim, a response which one can give to the Christians, because they say that David in this pasuk is not distinguishing between Jew and non-Jew. In the words of Radak, and this will conclude, v'zel lo yitochein bo, it's not possible that David would contradict a pasuk in the Chumash. Ki David lo osar ma shehitir Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no way that David will prohibit that which Moshe permitted. After all, the Torah says, "Lo so safe olav, lo sigra mimenu." You can't add from the Torah, you can't detract from the Torah. The Torah permits you to charge interest to a non-Jew. David's not going to overrule Moshe Rabbeinu. We've now completed Kapitel Tesvav, Tehillim 15.